The Bible is supposed to be something that gives us direction. Now, we understand that the Bible is not to be used in the sense that we're supposed to shine it on ourselves.
Right.
We're not supposed to show everybody how much we know and make us glow. Right? Amen. That rhymes. Amen. Sometimes as Bible believers, when we learn some things that are in the Bible and they are true, we can't wait to tell those things to people that are not ready to receive those things. And then by telling them those things, the devil actually uses truth to drive people away because they're like, man, y'all are weird. I mean, that's kind of strange. I never heard anything like that. I mean, whoever heard of the doctrine of the deep or that the devil was in Job 41? I never heard anything like that. And if I've never heard it, it must not be in there. Well, no, we go to a church, we learn the Bible and this and that and the other. And then you overwhelm them. It freaks them out. They're like, well, I don't even know how to handle that. So sometimes it's the simplicity, the milk of the word that people need to come along. So, but if he gives us just a Bible, there is one in here. This isn't like a thing. He's got his Bible in here just so that y'all know. That's a nice Bible, man. So he gives us the Bible and he said, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Can I say this? Some of us may be on similar paths, but all of us are to be on a singular path. And that path is supposed to be the one God puts you on.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Nobody's path is exactly the same. You can't try to put somebody on your path. And can I suggest to you, as the onset of this message goes, can I suggest to you, you don't try to tell somebody how to run on their path. They might have sticks and stones and rocks and things and holes and potholes and things on their path, and you didn't have them on your path. And you're out trying to explain to them, and you're like, you don't understand my path. You don't know what anybody is going on. I mentioned to you several weeks ago, when you're dealing with people, you don't know what's in their saddlebags. You start trying to talk to them. You say, well, I know you're doing this and this and this because you're wicked and you're the devil and you're carnal and this and that. And then you find out there's things going on in their life that it's a miracle they're even in church reading the Bible, praying, doing anything because of what they got in their saddlebags. And the best thing to do is just to recognize, hey, it's not my job to run somebody else's race. It's my job to stay in my... Here's the illustration of the lamp I've given you before. A lamp is like a lantern, not a spotlight. It means I hold it out in front of me and I can see my next step. And every time I take a step, I get a little bit more light on the path. I don't necessarily see where it's coming out. But it's a light to light your path. Now, with that thought in mind, could you come to Joshua chapter number 1? And we're going to be in two or three places this morning. You're going to need your Bible. What an unusual thing. I'm going to go to church and he might actually need my Bible. You say, why? Because you're in church.
Amen.
Come on up here, Nanny T. Have a seat. Look, if you will, please, in the book of Joshua. This is a great book in the Bible. Joshua is the one that replaced Moses. Joshua steps in after Moses steps in, and he's got a big job to do and big shoes to fill, as we talked about in Sunday school. Joshua chapter number 1 is the story where Joshua is fixing to be told by Moses what he's supposed to do. And now Joshua, who, listen to me, it is the only one in the Old Testament who is governed by what's written in a book. In Exodus chapter number 17, you find a verse in there where the Lord tells Moses, write these things in a book and rehearse them in the ears of Joshua that he may know, so on and so forth. So we understand that Joshua was getting instruction from a book. In the Old Testament, we went by a voice. In the New Testament, you go by a verse. It's important for you to know what the Bible says in order for you to be successful. By the way, you'll find the word success in here in verse number 8. It's the only place it's mentioned in the Bible, and it's directly connected with a man who does what God said. What does God say? He says to you what's in the Bible. Pick it up, if you will, please, in verse number 7. Make it 5. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's a wonderful promise. Be strong, he says, and of good courage, and unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Could I say he's given Joshua a clear direction on what he's supposed to do, and he's promising him he's going to be with him. Now watch, verse number 7. Only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, according to what you have the law. That's the Bible for you. David says in 1 Samuel chapter number 30, when he gets jammed up over there, comes back over to Ziklag, he said, call the priest and bring the ephod. For us, that's call the preacher and bring the Bible. I need to know what does the Bible say about what it is I'm fixing to do. I need to hear from God. You hear from God today the way David did. You hear from God from a preacher preaching from the book. You hear from God according to what the book says. The Bible says, and to do all the law, Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not, like the cherubim in Ezekiel 1, we'll get there in a minute, to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Reminds me to say, how can it be in your mouth if it's not in your heart? One quick way to understand how to give up the problem of cussing is, if you can grieve the Holy Spirit and you can quench the Holy Spirit, then you certainly have the ability to fulfill the things. If you can do that of your own volition, you start being filled with the Spirit, you'd be surprised how quick your foul mouth will go. Instead of just trying to quit it, why don't you get filled up with the right thing? The reason you're cussing is because the right thing ain't inside. Notice what he says. He says, turn not from the left, right hand to left, prosper, whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate it therein when? Whenever you got time. You're not busy with nothing else. No, we're talking about success, right? Success in everything and everybody. We got to do what? We got to read the book. Read the instructions. That Bible is an acrostic for basic instructions before leaving earth. That's pretty good. Whether you know, I've heard that before. Well, good. I'm glad you old person. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Here's a book, a verse the old preacher used to put in the Bibles. He would say, have not I commanded thee? That's a rhetorical question. The answer to that is, yeah, I did. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Brother Larry, you pray, would you please, and ask the Lord to help us out. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Let me give you a couple of things from memory as best I can. The Bible is an important book in your life. Can I say this? It shouldn't just be an important book. It should be the most important book in your life. You say, why? If I'm going to have success, both spiritually, which is the most important, and in understanding my lack of success in the world, I'm going to have to find out what the Bible says according to me, according to the path that He has me on. Sometimes success in a worldly manner will do more damage than liquor or cigarettes would ever do to an individual, because success causes them to get out of the will of God as much as evil things does. So don't get the idea that if I was successful just because I don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, and don't go with them that do. You can be out of the will of God this morning sitting at home or sitting out on your boat and having you a great time all the time. I'm not talking about being on vacation occasionally. I'm talking about every Sunday you're enjoying the fruits of your labors. You're enjoying the prosperity of things that's done. And you know what? That prosperity has got you from being where you ought to be, and that's ought to be in church. Now, I'm for you taking time off, and you got to rest to come apart. If you don't come apart, you'll come apart. I get all that, but you understand the context. I got to hurry. So what he does is he tells you, using Joshua as an example, he uses Joshua, and what he says, if you're going to go to the land of Canaan, I'm going to give you a book, and you need to conduct yourself according to what that book says. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Can I say this to you? Where you think you're going to go. Where you think, what you dwell on all the time is where you're going to go. Let me show you this. Look, if you will, please, in Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. It's a great passage here that talks about that. Now, we started just a little bit late, and the 12 o'clock buzzer is going to go off for some of you, and we don't get out at 12 o'clock no matter what. So if you're visiting, and we understand that you may go to a place that no matter what all's happened, 12 o'clock is the time that we go to worship Baal. I mean, that we go to get out. But here we don't do that. I have some people that will stone me if I do that. If I'm not done, then they get upset because they're not done. Look at this thing in Psalms chapter number 1. The Bible said blessed or happy is what the word is there. Blessed is the man. You don't have to go to Hebrew. You just go look it up in a dictionary. Happy is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinner, sitteth in the seat of scorner, but his delight is where? Look at it. Where? Say it out loud. The law of the Lord, and in His law He doth do what? So is it fair to say if I do verse 2, you won't find me in verse 1? Is that a fair statement? Can I talk to you just a little bit about that? What's the counsel of the ungodly? It's, you got to do some things in your mind. You say, why? Ungodly people shouldn't be trying to tell godly people what to do and where to go. You have to be careful where you get your counsel from. Age doesn't give you the right to counsel somebody. Just because you're a parent doesn't give you a right to counsel them if they're already grown up. Just because you're a teacher or in somebody in authority, you can sometimes counsel outside of your abilities. And that's a dangerous area because you're telling people that may be trying to depend on you, and you got to be careful where and who you get your counsel from. He says, don't count to get the counsel in the ungodly. Don't walk in that. Oh, I have to change what I hear. I have to change where I go. I have to change who I listen to. Could you listen to me, kids? The Bible teaches you that there has to be a change. When you got saved, your mind didn't get saved. Now, don't get panicky on me. I'm just going to tell you, your soul is saved. Your body will be at the rapture or at death. Amen. It's not saved now. But your mind is not saved. If your mind was saved, would you have been thinking something you've thought over the last 24 hours? Like anger and wrath and bitterness and frustration and guilt and bitterness and so on and so forth, or lustfulness or anything. Listen, let me just define lust. It ain't always sexual.
Right.
You can lust after a position. You can lust after somebody else's husband or wife. You can lust after wanting to have what they have. You can lust after a car or a purse or a pair of shoes, or you can lust after somebody's looks. I mean, lust just means something that's out of bounds. You can lust after food, what you will be doing after 12 o'clock today. I'm trying to teach you the principle of fasting. Trying to break the chains. But let me say this to you. Your mind didn't get saved. Here's a good example. There's times where I have to make a choice. Somebody calls and I feel like going, I've told you the same story 10 times. But here's what I say. Praise the Lord, I'll pray for you. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm thinking, do I pray? Do I tell them what the Bible says, or do I just cuss them out? Now, I know you would never do. See, y'all are like, Rob's like, yeah, I understand that, you know. But now here's the thing. Their old nature is still with me. You need to understand, I'm saved, have been since I was 7. I am a preacher of the gospel. But if I don't put the right stuff in, if I don't continually wash my heart out, that old nature comes back up, and what it wants to do is say what it wants to say instead of what God would have me to say. I'm supposed to have speech that cannot be condemned. But the only way to drive that out is to drive the right things in. I'm not one of these fanciful preachers. I'm not very dignified, and I won't be today. I can promise you that. I get wore out with these people thinking, oh, I'm saved. My mind is perfect. You are the devil. You are not perfect.
Right.
You're trying to act like something you cannot be. You say, why? You have to renew your mind. Give me scripture on it, preacher. Okay. Settle down and buckle your bonnet here, young lady. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Lord, I'm giving you the car, but I ain't giving you the engine. You can have the car. Man, it's pretty. It's candy apple red. Or it's midnight blue with some sparkle flakes in the paint. Got a rolled and tucked, rolled and pleated interior made out of all leather. Raise up the hood. Ain't nothing there. That car is not going anywhere. It don't even look right because it's sitting there with no weight in the front end, and it's all jacked up like this, and it's like something's missing to balance it out.
Oh my.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may know that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Why are you so wound up? Because you ate.
Amen.
You've been thinking too much on the wrong things. Well, I just don't know. That's how you ought to have a service or something. You need to wind up and look in the Bible. How many people in the Bible, after they met Jesus, they couldn't keep their mouth shut? They could not say something about, hey, what did Jesus do, Peter? Now listen, it's good, man. I appreciate all you're doing, helping the fellow out in Acts 3. But when you preach, you can't say Jesus. Say what? Say, Jesus, oh, you want me to talk about Jesus? And he gives his testimony. They're like, no, that's what we're talking about. You can't talk about. Talk about who? Talk about Jesus. Peter said, oh, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And he's just the same. Alexander has his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him. So Peter gets a tar beat out of him. And he said, man, ain't it a blessing to finally get beat for something worth getting beat for?
Amen.
Let me say this to you. Step number one, you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You got to understand watching that box and watching that internet and watching that YouTube and watching that. You better keep a control because it'll get down in your heart. It will not steal your salvation. It'll take your joy and it'll run you in the wrong direction.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I was reading so-and-so the other day and he said the way to be financially prosperous, is he saved?
Come on.
Well, no, but I mean, yeah, but what? But what? He gives you financial security. I can tell you, make every decision in light of the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have more than you know what to do with. You'll have money that spends in heaven. But you know what? The worldly things that tell to you, the counsel of the ungodly, you don't need church. Two articles this week sent by two of our men here. One of them that the church is not the same, and if the church don't change, people ain't going to come. Well, this church, with God's help, ain't changing.
Amen.
If you don't want to come, then I'll see you in eternity. But I ain't changing for that. Amen. You say, we'll fire you and get somebody else. I hope I've trained some boys well enough that if you put them in, all this is kind of like, well, if you're going to have to move him, you got to keep, how far down do we kill until it stops?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Including deacons and trustees and everybody else. You say, why? Their mind is fixed on the right thing. They say, well, you got to change things. You got to become more modern. You have to become more electronic. And then on the flip side, I get another article says, listen, church, and this is a church in Atlanta, and what they say is you got to bring psychics in to be the preacher. She happens to be a female. I'm dead serious. And people actually go to that church. And so guess what? If you start looking at that and listening to that, after a while, you know what it begins to do? It begins to just kind of dull the edge. It doesn't necessarily take it completely off, but then it's kind of like, well, I mean, you know, preacher, you don't have to be so dogmatic. And you know, you could just ease up a little bit and just, you know, can you just turn it down? I mean, just a tad, preacher, you're just too sure of yourself. No, I'm not sure of me. I'm sure of him. I'm sure of what he wrote. I'm going to keep putting it out that way. And if it bothers you, turn the cat around the other way. That's all I know to tell you. You say, why? I've been doing it this way for a long time. And as much as you won't change, I ain't changing either. But I'm not going to waste time with you to try to change your will. You're a persnickety old gas bag. And all you're wanting to do is create and cause problems for everybody. And whenever you talk, it smells like something came out of another end. And I'm not really interested, because all you're there to do is counsel ungodliness. Counsel rebellion. Counsel an uprising. You're like Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Well, I think we ought to do it like this. You ain't going to get in the promised land doing it how you want to do it. You're going to have to do it how God says to do it.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
I think the next thing in that passage right there, he said, don't stand in the way of what? Sinners. Preacher says, well, that means don't get in the way of them coming to the Lord. Yeah, but the context is a bad thing. That means that you don't take on the ways of wicked people. You need to change your ways. We're in Psalms 1, the book of songs, the book of wonderful lifting up of Jesus and lifting up in the millennial kingdom and lifting up in the prophetic sense of the judgment coming and the second coming of Christ. And, oh, isn't this wonderful? The Lord starts off, before we get started, verse 1. Don't walk in the ways the ungodly wants you to walk. That means there should be a change. I don't care if Hollywood says jack it up. You say the Lord says turn it down.
Amen. Yep.
There's only one reason you dress the way you do is to attract attention.
Right.
You say, what does that mean? That means you got a heart problem.
Right.
Trust me, after a while and that Coke bottle turns to a mayonnaise jar, dear sister, you ain't going to care none whatsoever to try to run around with all that on you.
Right.
Amen. Good preaching. I wouldn't suggest it for you, but I'm old. I can get away with it. You don't know what might be in your life and everything turn around and looks like all of a sudden things have gone south. You don't know what. You say, well, you know, preacher, what is it? Life will catch you.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't stand in the way. Don't stand up. When he says in Ephesians 6, wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, and so on, and he says, stand therefore, having done all to do what?
Stand.
But not stand in the wicked ways, stand in the righteous ways.
Amen.
The ways of righteousness, the ways of cleanness. Don't pick up on the things that sinners do and start talking. Listen, if you were I can't even say everything I'm thinking. because I have to put on the new man. That old man is right there. Go ahead and say that. And I'm thinking, if I say that, they will not forgive me until the millennium. But I'm thinking. Here's the best way to put it. If you were something in your past life, stop acting in this life like what you used to be. Don't bring the things from your... If you stop being that person, stop talking like that. You know, if you used to fling it down, if you used to be, you know, one of the gangbangers or whatever it might be, and you used to talk that way with all that slang, or you used to be on the drug slinging, on the street slinging dope or whatever, but you're not doing that anymore, stop talking like you still are. Yes, right. Change how you talk. Yes, right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaketh. My language needs to be changed. Look, it's what I used to be. Good. Thank the Lord you're saved. But you ain't standing in that way anymore.
Amen.
Change your ways. Stop talking like that. Stop going back and dwelling on that. Stop looking. Why? Because if it gets in your heart, you're going back. That's why I don't particularly, for me personally, care about all of the programs, the anonymous programs, because they have you focus on what you did and what you would like to do all the time. I'm for you admitting I'm that person and I did it. Can we move on now?
Yes.
Won't you thinking about alcohol or pornography or drugs all the time? You know where your mind's going to be? It's going to be on that. And if the Bible's right, if you think it, you're going to become it.
Amen.
So their success rate is not great. Although we do see, well, preacher, you know, they've been in this program and they're doing so good. You know why they accept that program? Because they won't accept what the Lord did for them. They see you got real nervous right there.
That's good. That's good.
Right now we have counties and cities and states and federal people trying to do what the church used to do. But it required a conversion. It required somebody to say, I know I'm a sinner and I'm wrong and I need to come to Jesus and get saved. They'd hit what was called the old sawdust trail, and they would preach it so much so that people would shut down liquor stores and other places like that because they gave their heart to Jesus. They didn't put them in a program.
Right.
Now, if program worked for you, praise the Lord. I'm glad it worked. Whatever the Lord used as a tool. I'm simply saying worldly ways and worldly thoughts and worldly ideas are not necessarily what the Lord uses. You say, why? It would kind of be like Him blessing unrighteousness. Some of you are trying so hard to find out what God wants you to do, but you know what happened? You're like a puzzle. You're like a jigsaw puzzle, and you get frustrated putting it together. So you take a piece that's shaped in a certain way, and you put it over here in a hole, and you just pound it into that hole, trying to be what you want it to be, instead of it's not fitting where, and then you turn around, and it pops back up. And you wonder why it keeps popping up, because you're trying to force it into a hole. You're trying to put a ground peg in a square hole.
Amen.
The Lord said, don't fit there.
Right.
That's why I keep popping up. Mm-hmm. And you just keep pounding it. Because you're bound and determined to be something that doesn't fit the puzzle.
Right.
You say, why? Maybe it has to do with these three things here. We're going to move over. Notice that these first three things are negative. What a way to start a sermon. Yeah, but it's great if you're already down in the mud. At least I can take you up from there. Can't move, go much lower except hell. Notice what the Bible says. He said, not only don't walk in the counsel of ungodly, don't stand in the way of sinners, but then notice what else. He said, don't sit in the seat of the scornful.
Amen.
You know what scornful people are? They're rejected people.
Right.
Can I say this to you? Don't hang out with bitter people.
Right. Amen.
I'm just trying to do you a favor.
Yeah.
Don't hang out with people. They're bitter all the time.
Amen.
They're mad all the time.
Yeah.
They're mad at somebody over something. You know what that is? That's a pipsqueak of a person.
Yes.
I mean, they wouldn't even make a dot on a ball of dust. They're so little. You know what that is? They're shining a light on themselves. What they're trying to do, and you're too ignorant maybe to understand, and I know exactly what I just said, they're shining the light on them because they want you to follow them.
Right.
They're trying to manipulate you and influence you into thinking like they think because they don't think of you as much as you might think they do. Bitter people always griping and complaining. You know why? A scorner is somebody that didn't get what they want or what they thought they deserved.
Right.
For you elderly people, no offense intended, but you allow me to just preach. You think you deserve respect you ain't earned.
Amen.
You don't get respect just because you're old people.
That's right.
You have to earn respect.
Yes, sir.
Well, I've been around here and you're not, any more than any of the rest do. You get respect as a policeman, not just because of the uniform, but because you properly and with kindness and charity enforce the law that you're told to enforce. You get the same thing as a businessman, and you get that respect because you do business honestly and give people what it is they pay for. You have to earn that thing called respect. It don't come automatically.
Amen.
Let me give you a good example. Can I please tell me what David ever did to Saul? You can't find one thing that boy ever did to Saul. So much was David in Saul's corner that when a boy killed him and took him out of the way, David said, now you're messing with God. Now you tried to do something that I wasn't going to do, and it's up to God to take care of. And David takes a man's life that kills his enemy. You know what Saul's problem was? Saul did not get what he wanted, and he was bitter at being rejected. And because he was rejected, he blasted David. I've seen that happen repeatedly. You know what happens? The Bible doesn't say don't just walk and don't just stand. Now you're getting comfortable. You know what happens? He uses scorner for a reason, because if you're comfortable around scorners, it says a lot about you've already gone past two other things. You've gone past the walk and a stand, and now you sitting down, you planning on staying a while. When you come in and you sit down, you know what you're saying? We're planning on staying a while. We're talking about Joshua using the book to get direction, but you got to define words, right? Now, he says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in there he should meditate day and night, right? So if I learn to do verse 2, I don't have a problem with verse 1, but some of you, from the looks of your face, either your breakfast is bound up and can't get out or something, or you're mad already because it's done rang your bell. I'm in Psalm 1 just giving you what the Bible says. Well, I ain't never read it like that. No, truth is, you ain't never read it. Because when you read the Bible, you're kind of like, oh, well, I'm not listening to ungodly counsel, and I'm not standing around things that are ungodly, and I'm certainly not sitting down with people that are constantly griping and complaining all the time. I think I'll just make a message out of that for a minute. Griping about the traffic, griping about the house, griping about the restaurant, griping about how I feel, griping about the water, griping about the electricity, griping about the air, griping about the light, griping about, and then griping. Because people are griping. You ever hear them people, they just griping all the time? The Lord's like, duh.
Yeah.
The nation of Israel, because of murmuring and complaining, were caused to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and it's used as an object lesson for us in 1 Corinthians, the most carnal church there was. Listen, kids, one of the greatest things you can do for your parents is not go buy them something. Stop complaining about all everybody else has that you don't have. And that's for all the kids everywhere. Catch them all. He wasn't looking at me. But I know they learned it from adults. Because some of you are scorners because somebody that you hate got what you wanted. Oh, yes. Brother Sam got to preach. Yeah? He's the associate. And I asked him to.
Amen.
I actually told him to. No, I really did. He said, preacher, if you need to have somebody, no, you do it. But I mean, if you have some, yes, sir. But you know what? I've seen preachers coming up. How come he gets to preach? He earned it.
Amen. Amen.
Why won't you get busy doing what God wants you to do, and maybe the Lord will open the pulpit for you?
Yeah.
Why does Roger get to sing? Because they was police together and all that? No, he's a blessing. He's trying to do what the Lord wants him to do. Yeah. Believe it or not, I'm listening to what God wants to say. If he'd have said, TK sing, he would have said, preacher, I don't want to do that. I said, TK? Lord said. He said, okay, preacher, I'm going to get him to do it, but it's going to sound like styrofoam lids. He did not want to be first in line this morning. I mean, his tender big old heart was there and tears were coming down his cheeks. And I said, hey man, how about you welcome him first? He's like, preacher, can I just sit here a minute? No, come on.
Amen.
You know what he says right there? He said, don't sit with scorners.
Right.
You ever look at who you sit with? Do you ever wonder why they're comfortable complaining when they're with you? Because you're just like them. Birds of a feather flock together. But preacher, we don't complain about those things. We just complain about, yeah, what's ever going on in your world. And that's justifiable complaining. Right? Well, I don't know. I might want to check the book on that. Because most of what we call complaining is at the expense of another person. It's a good way to mask slander. It is also a great way, listen to me, it is also a great way to exalt yourself. Listen, if you go to somebody and try to make it right and they won't hear you, you're going to have to learn to let them walk and understand the problem is theirs, not yours. The Bible says, not me. The Bible said they're subverted in their own heart. They're trying to put you down and you done tapped out. Good to see you, brother. You understand what I'm telling you? So what you have to understand is if I want to do what the Bible says in verse number 2 of Psalms chapter number 1, I have got to learn to delight in what God says and meditate on what God says, not what the internet says, not what the news media says. My Lord, the news media. Literally, I didn't watch it last week. I mean, I was busy every morning and every night and meetings and so on and so forth and was busy, and I was glad to be busy. I came in, I called her, I put her to bed, and then I read a little bit, got things ready for the next morning where I was going so I could meditate on it while I went to sleep at night. And I made the mistake when I got home. I got up yesterday morning and I turned on, and for about 10 minutes, I watched, you know, As the World Pukes. I watched your public officials up there acting like two little children. Yep. I don't care whose side you're on. Don't give me that.
Come on.
No, that's good.
The state of the nation is at stake. Oh, man, you got to be kidding me. You're certainly not that stupid. If they stayed in that, go drive to Washington. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're just...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mama, what's the matter? Is breakfast ready? Eat cereal. Get a sugar high. I don't care. What are you watching? I just, this is bad. Kim Jong-un has decided that he's going to still have missiles. Turn it on the next day. Iran didn't really dismantle their centrifuge. They're making atomic weapons. Who didn't know that? It isn't the ones that are making them that you worry about. It's the ones that already have them that you should be worrying about. What if they make one? They'll join the rest of us. Is that a political statement? No, that's just common sense. But some of you don't realize what happens is it changes how you're thinking. You say, why? It gets your mind too focused on worldly things. And then you come in here and the preacher's wound up a little today, a smidgen, just a little bit. A hire. He gets a little carried away in Sunday school, a little jacked up, walking around with his Bible like, you know, Kenneth Copeland or something, man. What's wrong with that guy? No, I ain't got two private jets and a private plane. Living on a bunch of acres and anyway. And you're like, what's all that? Listen, if one of your people that you watch in the afternoon news got up and started to be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, lay it down, boy. About time somebody stood up for what's right. And then the preacher's like, hey, man, we in church. This morning right now, you have no idea what's going on in me right now. In my mind, I have already run across the top of the pews all the way to back where Brother Ed's at and then fall over and let him catch me. He's all the time asking me, do you need something? Is there something I can do for you? Yeah, babe, catch me. And fall over. Just let him be like, well, I didn't mean that. But I know what would happen for some of you. You'd be like, oh, I ain't doing that. That ain't church. No, you would harness a man that gets excited about the Lord, but you wouldn't harness a man that gets excited about football. Or making a dollar. No, that would be... That's industrious. But when the preacher does that, he's a fanatic. You know what a fanatic is? Basically, just a basic illustration of that, or a basic definition of that. It's just somebody that loves God more than you do. Come back, if you will, please, to Joshua chapter number 1. Do you understand that when he says there's some things, you need to identify certain things in your life? You have to do some things. Listen, don't hang around with bitter people. You say, why? You're never going to change them. Am I doing okay? The rest of it's just really simple. You just have to follow what the Bible says. back in Joshua chapter number 1, first of all, their consideration has to be that God's got to be first. If you can be faithful over little things, God will make you ruler over big things. But you know what has to happen? You have to be willing to make some decisions in line with what God wants you to do. And then you know what you have to be doing? You have to delight in what God says, not in what the world says.
Yes.
So what happens when I get these articles? I appreciate you sending me the articles. When I get the articles, I'm like, ain't that something? One of the fellows said this to me. He said, do they even read the Bible? I said, yes, I believe they honestly do. They just don't see what we see. Mm-hmm. Their eyes are holding. You know what I know about some of you? You hear me preach week after week. Some of you have been here for years and you still hadn't changed. You're still listening. You're still standing, walking, standing, and you're now sitting. And what you do is every time you hear something, it's critical. I don't. That just don't seem right to me. I ain't sure about it. And you know what? You missed the entire message because I didn't tell a joke right. That wasn't funny at all. I'm not known as a jokester.
Amen.
That's not my forte.
Right.
Really quiet right there. That's your way of just being very courteous. It's like, you didn't amen it. You're just like, that's a mama look, you know? Look carefully. There has to be a consideration. He's gotten direction, right? Is that right? But could I give you this? He would have never gotten direction if he wasn't ready to go. He had proven himself following Moses for 40 years, and you don't find one time where Joshua said, it's my turn now. Now that Moses is dead, the Lord said, your turn. Why did he pick him? Because he'd been faithful doing what he was supposed to do. The Lord would have never given him the information he's fixing to give him here and allow him to lead the nation of Israel in there if he couldn't take orders. Point number two, when the Lord points it out, are you willing to do it? So, preacher, this is just basic stuff. I know. Why do we have to keep preaching on it? Because we're the world's worst Bible believers about doing it. We pick and choose passages and fit them how we want to fit them instead of being obedient. The Lord said, hey, can I trust you with what? The Word. I'm going to tell you what to do. If you do it, he said, you'll be prosperous. That prosperity doesn't necessarily mean physical prosperity. It will mean at the judgment seat of Christ. If you do what I tell you to do, that prosperity may not be prosperity in somebody else's life. The Apostle Paul got a blessing, but his blessing was at the expense of jail and a day and a night in the deep and the ministry and being beaten for however many times with 40 stripes, save one, and all the things that he went through and the persecutions and the afflictions and all that stuff. That was Paul's blessing. Paul said, man, we glory in tribulation. That's the greatest thing the Lord could ever do for me. You don't understand that unless you're in the book.
Right.
You can't even grab that. It didn't make no sense. But the question is this to you. He's given you the book. He's given you the directions. Could you be as obedient to the directions as Joshua was? Lord, you tell me where to go, I'll go. Tell me what to do, I'll do. But Lord, here's what I'm asking you. I want specifics on how you want me to do it. Joshua's not foolish. He wants direction. How do you know? When that sin over there happens at Ai, Joshua recognizes right off the bat, I broke protocol somewhere. Joshua realized, I've recognized this before. I saw that old preacher, and I saw when he got sideways with the Lord what happened, and now the nation is suffering for a decision I made. I did something wrong. He goes up there, and he bows down, and the captain of the salvation shows up, the Lord, and he's got his sword drawn like that, and he tells Joshua, get up. And Joshua said, I know I must have messed up. Why? I didn't follow the directions when you told me to follow them the right way. I took it upon myself to do what I thought was right to do, and I figured since we'd had such a success in Jericho, the Lord said, who had a success in Jericho? Well, Lord, I mean, you know, we marched around the city, and the city fell when we blew on the trumpet and shouted, you know, and so I credit to whom credit's due. He said, and you caused an earthquake? You caused the ground to tremble and the walls to come tumbling down, did you, Joshua? Oh, well, I see what you're saying, Lord. Well, that was what you were thinking when you went to Ai. Mm-hmm. You thought you could do it. Don't you, Christian? You think, I don't need God. I can do it. One of Alabama fellows, a hard worker, and I appreciate hard workers, worked out in his field and so on and so forth. He hitched up his galluses and pulled it up there. He says, I'm a self-made man. And there was an old preacher standing right over here to my right. His name was Chambers. I believe his name was Chambers. He's an old preacher. He's getting old. He didn't really care. He said, you self-made, are you? He said, I'm self-made. I ain't like these lazy jacklegs around here. And Brother Chambers very kindly and nicely put his hands in his pockets and he said, really? So did you give yourself sight and breath? That's where I got the illustration from. Well, this is that old man. He whittled that man down to size. And when he was done, he said, have a nice day. He was 80-something years old when he took on that man. Self-made. Self-made. You better be careful about that. You know why you're sitting here right now? You say, well, because I got up and I made myself come. Hey, easy now, big fella. Easy now. I had a fellow in my office this morning, sitting right over in the corner. I used an illustration. You know what his response was? That's just a testimony of the grace of God.
Amen.
He didn't for 1 second step in there and say, well, you know, I was disciplined and I decided to. You know what he said? That's the grace of God.
Amen.
You want to be careful about that self-made. God will show you how self-made you are. God will break you down, boy, and make you cry. Don't you know by now that God can make any one of us cry? Sure He can. Might even do something to somebody hanging around you just to show the lesson to you. Maybe, I'm not saying that He would. He certainly did for our benefit. The walk, He says to Joshua, has to match the talk. Notice in verse number 8, let's hurry. The Bible says, this is the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate it there day and night, can preach on all that stuff. Observe to do. Observe to do. Observe to do. Can I say this? The behavior must be based on what the book says. You have to govern yourself according to the book. And then you're promised that God will be with you. You say, why? Where God guides, He provides. You have to have courage to do it. But you have to be willing to go if He says go. I talked to a young man this weekend. He is struggling. He came to the service Monday night. He came to the service Tuesday night. And after Tuesday night, I talked about leaving all on the altar and so on and so forth and some things along those lines. We got to talking about that for a little bit. And he said, Preacher, I'll talk to you for a minute. He's nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. And I said, sure, what's up, man? And he said, I left it on the altar today. He said, my problem is I keep picking it back up. And I said, well, why are you doing that? You think you got better trust? He said, no, I know God. I know it's better in God's hands than my hands. I know I should leave it there. But I'm worried I'm going to pick the thing back up. How can you not pick it up? I said, leave it. He said, yeah, well, I said, you're thinking about it right now. Did you leave it? I said, you told me you left it. You ain't left it. You're still talking about it. You know right where it is.
Right.
He went to his church on Wednesday night, came back on Thursday night. He came by, man, I mean literally his palms were sweating. Preacher, I'll talk to you a minute. I said, yeah. He said, this is what I'm struggling with. And he said, I think I know what God's told me to do. You think? You think? He said, I know what God's told me to do. I said, oh, okay. Don't answer for me. If you're not sure, have Him stamp it.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
I use Moses as an example that we talked about last week. Moses. The second time's a confirmation. Make sure He confirms where He wants you to go. Make sure that He's talking to you. He said, well, He's already told me. But, he said, since He first told me, there's been a time space. And other things have gotten in there. And I said, what's the matter? Are He taking you back to the bush? Yes, sir. I said, well, what do you want me to tell you? I told Him what I would tell you. Pass the salt.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that for Him. He knows all the elements, but here's the thing with Joshua. You can either decide to go or not, sign up or not. It don't matter to me. If you don't do it, the Lord will get somebody else to do it. It's the privilege that God has even asked you in the first place.
Right.
Secondly, it's the willingness. Sometimes the willingness is all He's looking for. And then what He does is put you on the bench and say, okay, I just want to know I can call on you if I need you. You know, and then all of a sudden He goes over there and calls for the right-hander and said, come on in. There's one batter left at the bottom of the ninth inning, and you're going to pitch however many it takes to get one batter out. And you're like, Lord, I mean, I called in. I've been training for 9 innings. I've been training, you know, to go all the way. I've been training not to get pulled out of the game or have to go to the bullpen. You want me to pitch one time? You know who gets the win for the game if that guy walks in and strikes out the last guy? The last guy in the box. But you know what, some of you? God's dealt with you several times. And you're on pause. You haven't even passed step one. Lord, I'm willing to go. How do I know you're willing to go, Joshua? Because I've been with Moses on the way for 40 years. What are you saying, preacher? Joshua found the will of God on the road to duty. He was just doing what God had always told him to do. And the next thing you know, he's just doing what God wants him to do. And he's headed where God wants him to go. He doesn't say, Joshua, Joshua. He said, okay, well, we're going to continue the journey. You've got one guy that dropped off now. Now you pick up the journey and go. Why? You've been training for 40 years. Time for you to go. Now you step up. There was nothing mystical about it. Some of you, you're looking for the will of God. That's kind of what the message is, although I got a little bunny trailed there. But here's the thing. Some of you are looking so hard for the will of God, you've yet to be on the road to duty. You can't just do what God told you to do. You gripe and complain. You don't do that. You're too big to do that job. You know all the jobs Joshua did before he winds up leading the children? And for 40 years. You ever look at 10 years that Elisha followed Elijah? You know what he was known for? A water boy. 10 years, 365 days a year. A water boy. He's not mentioned from the time he's called plowing 12 yoke of oxen until they're getting ready to cross to the other side and the mantle's getting ready. 10 years, he doesn't even get an honorable mention. 10 years, the preacher gets up to preach, he's not even mentioned. You say, what was he? Just right there. Just a good ox. Just plowing. Head down, just plowing. Like this. Ox don't plow like this. You know how an ox plows? You know, a fellow told me one time, he said, if you ever get a good team of oxen, he said, they'll outplow donkeys or horses 9-1. And he said, the reason is once an ox learns what it is you want him to do, all you got to do is point him in the right direction. And he will stay right there. He said the biggest problem you'll have is when he gets to the end of the field, he'll just keep plowing if you don't pull him over and turn him around. You understand the point? I'd like to be like Joshua. Preacher, what's the will of God for my life? I don't know. Are you on the road to duty? That's the bigger question. Are you where God wants you to be? How could you ever pastor a church when you can't even attend church? Preacher, I've been called to preach. And I know whenever you preach, you're going to think everybody's going to come to hear you and you're going to berate them because they're not showing up for church services. How can you be called to preach and you're not even in a place where preaching goes on? I'm just saying, maybe you are. Great. Squirrels and birds and everything else need preaching too, I guess. Look at verse number 9 and we'll close out. I'm not trying to be hard on you. That came earlier in the first 3 verses. Now I'm just trying to gently land the glider. The key is found in verse number 8 where we meditate day and night and we're obedient to what God has already told us to do. We're not looking for something new. Am I doing what God says now? Then he says, have I not commanded thee? In other words, I've already told you. You don't need to look any further. I've already told you what I want you to do. So you don't need to look for a new thing, Joshua. You just need to do what I've been telling you to do. Amen. Christian, could I help you with this? Outside of all the stuff of berating you, belittling you, making fun of you, and all the other kind of stuff for walking and standing and sitting, that kind of thing. Could I give you this to think about? God is interested in worship. And worship in your Bible is connected with obedience. Period. And sacrifice second. That means not my will, but thine be done. If I can just do that, I can expect God to hitch me up. Amen. To do what? Whatever he wants. Amen. Joshua never said, I want to be the guy that leads them in to the land of promise. It was God that said, Joshua, you're the guy. Nobody. Peter, James, John, Zebedee, Matthew, Luke. None of those guys. None of them. Andrew. None of them. They weren't looking. Pick me. Pick me. Pick me. The Lord came by and said, you're a fisherman. I'll take you. You're a fisherman's brother. I'll take you. You're a tax collector. I'll take you. Nobody else wants you anyway. You're a devil. I'll take you. Need a witness to make sure nobody thinks I'm doing anything wrong. The Lord goes through and picks. But you know what would have happened with every one of them if they hadn't said yes? They'd have missed the opportunity to walk with the Lord. Who did he pick? Busy people. He didn't pick a single individual sitting by the highway side begging and doing nothing. Sitting there living off of everybody else and waiting for the glory to pass by. He had picked people that were busy doing what he had called them to do. Just working. Every day. The Lord walked by their way one day and said, man, you're really busy. Yes, sir, Lord, I'm busy as a one-armed paper hanger in a hurricane. That's a wallpaper person. The wind's blowing a hurricane and trying to blow the wallpaper off the wall while he's trying to hang the paper. Good, you'll work. Let's go. Are you busy doing what God wants you to do? Say, I'm just too busy. You go through the Bible and find me where God deals with unbusy people. God uses busy people.
That's right.
I'm too busy. Well, then you're too busy for God, then you're too busy for anything. Let's stand together and be dismissed. I hope that helps you. I'd like to see you have some success. I'd like to see you do what God wants you to do. You're not going to get it unless you change your mind. If you're not willing to change your mind, then guess what? Your lamp is going to be dim. Your lamp is going to be dim. Therefore, the light to your path is going to be sort of unknown. Preacher, what do I need to do? Stick to what the book says. Do what the book says. Meditate in it day and night. Do what God tells you to do right now. Quit worrying about whatever it is you think you're going to be later. Just do what He tells you right now. Can I take some pressure off of you? If you're a dad, be a good dad. Work on that a while. That's tough enough. You're a mom, be a good mom. Maybe He might use you when you're 40 or 50 or 60. After you're done doing what He got you doing now. Checking your mettle right now. Why? There ain't nothing to test your mettle more than raising kids. Right? You're in a hurry to get to the promised land. You know what the Lord did? He had a good cure for being in a hurry. He had him go in circles for 40 years. You say, why? He's preparing Joshua. And He's giving him the right crew to take over. The Lord ain't in a hurry. He's just like, okay, I'm ready to go now. And one day, Moses went to the mountain. He didn't come back. And they mourned, and the Lord said, Joshua, time to go, boy. Sir, you the chief cook and bottle washer now, man. What about Aaron? No, Aaron's not a military leader. That's how you find the will of God. I just do what God tells me to do when God tells me to do it. Brother Sam, you pray and ask the Lord to dismiss us, would you please?